First, I should say, can you hear me?
I'm going to say we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Not so good.
I'm going to mute Starlight because she's just making all kinds of noise. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, that's
yes.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Starlight's in her vehicle, so she's muted now. Don't tell her, though. All right. I spoke to Father yesterday at length, and he had much to say, so this is what he had to say. But first, I would like to give you my piece. Father said, "My dear team, with great joy I greet all of you and extend to you my love and my peace as well. This past Service for the Departed was a great success. Millions, billions received all three sacraments, and many moved out of their original realms into new realms. Many were added to the realm of paradise and now work alongside your brothers and sisters and families. How wonderful. We still need more prayers. Why, you might ask? It is the love behind those prayers that fuel the hearts of the ambassadors that speak with the souls. It is the selfless act of prayer that sparks the hearts of those who are bound and feel hopeless. This is truly the work of Jesus' bride. This work will continue to grow and grow, and I need all of you to tell all in your circles to continue to pray and offer for eternity. Yes, the ministers are not doing a good job with this, so I know all of you will. See, when you do good works, I have to give you more work." And then he chuckled. "My dear ones, I know that many feelings stir within your hearts about the future. May I tell you one thing, please? I have been there, and it is beautiful. Maybe you think when my son is announced that all of your lives and your family's lives will be turned inside out. This will not be the case. You will be respected and revered because you serve with my son and you serve me. Many will seek you out and ask for your help. For you see, many hearts are tired, sick, and weak. There are many that suffer under the hand of Satan, and it will be you who frees them. Demons are not something that is the basic topic of a new apostolic's life. Zombie apocalypses are." And he chuckled again. "Seriously, team, this world has penetrated many of my children's hearts. They are swayed by opinion and feel that they are not receiving my word. I will be honest, in many congregations, this is the case, but not everywhere. Many feel that you no longer need apostles to reach my kingdom. They are wrong. How does a fellow prisoner release his cellmate? He does not. It takes an outside authority to release them. This is what power lies within the apostles' ministry. Even many apostles question this power. We are on the edge of change once again within the church. The chief apostle is the head. Yes, he is. But my son will become the prince who will rule over the church and share my will with everyone. Do these words strike a chord in your heart? I have never referred to my son in this context before. It even unnerved my boy to hear it. Please understand that there are now many spirits influencing my children and the leaders. This is why there is so much conflict and chaos in the congregations. My son, with your help, will teach, will lead and love all of them and bring them back to the first love. HS has been trying to move the hearts of many leaders, but their hearts are cold like stones. Once Triland is announced, many of these hearts will leave. Many will stay. The hearts that stay will be warm and open. These are the ones that you will spark to help with the future children that will walk in off the street. Does this not bring a smile to your face? I know that I am smiling. There is so much pain, anger, and grief, much discontentment and resentment against one another. This is truly the Laodicean time, the will of the people. I have news for all of them. It is my will that will be served. Once, years ago, we had love and harmony in the church. No one would ever have thought of leaving, Now someone smiles wrong at a person, and they leave. There is no understanding or empathy for each other. Everyone thinks only of themselves and what they can get. There is so little serving going on. Let me ask you this question. If you do not do your job in the companies you work for, do they give you a raise and say, good job? No, they remove you if you do not improve. My son's announcement will be the pink slip for many. I will clean house that day. Do not think that this is an easy task for me. It is not. But there are times where my son says, Old Testament God comes out, and he will prevail at that time. Beloved, do not think, or I'm sorry, beloved, do you not think that I have put up with enough of what man thinks and wants? Why is that? It is this way because they serve themselves and not others, as my boy Jesus taught many years ago. Team Tryland will lead all of them back to the basics. Yes, even the apostolate as well. It is through hard work and love that this church will return to me. All of this breaks my heart. My son recently spoke to someone and said, nothing from this world will be allowed into my Father's kingdom. And yet, we allow this world into the church. My Father's kingdom is the will of one, my Father's will. He is correct. Others' opinions, needs, and desires do not have a place in my kingdom. I am pretty sure that I know what is best. Beloved, please be patient. Be strong. I am still readying many hearts so that they will be open and listen to what this team has to offer and say. The time is short. We are only a few months away from the announcement. Do not let Satan play with your hearts and fill them with doubt. I will see that day happen. And do you know why? Because it is my will. I love all of you and am very proud of how all of you have grown into the wonderful guardians that you are. I will always love and support you. Does anybody have any questions? Any comments?
It's a little different reference to you.
Yeah, I actually, while he was dictating that to me, stopped and looked up at him. And he kind of motioned with, keep going. Okay. I honestly didn't know that was going to take place either. So we'll see what that entails in time. I figure I'll have a rod of steel and an iron fist, and I'll make everybody love him that way. That's my plan. I hope you guys come along with me. Yeah, I don't think so.
Tryland, any feeling or inclinations or thoughts about how leadership throughout the church globally is kind of coming along with this? Where do you feel like you are in the process of getting everybody to know in the global leadership who you are and their acceptance of that?
I think currently absolutely nothing is happening per se. Father and I have chatted a little bit, and he said that the Disc Apostle Kolb is still on the fence, but Orlovsky is not, and he is in the process of complicating his life. I believe he told us that the last month we had our meeting. I don't know what the extent of that is, but he was in Schaumburg 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and when I saw him, he did not look well. So please pray for him. I keep asking Father to move his heart and open it. And I don't blame him for being the way he is, but I have asked in many circles, if they were to just use some common sense and ask themselves this one question, what's Jim's end game? What is it that I get for making such an outlandish comment or remark to be the second son? What is it that I get? And if I'm hoping in time, Father said they would, they will approach me and ask that question, and I will tell them absolutely nothing, but what I am going to get is serving my Father's will. And last time I checked, that guy's in charge. And I think that the church is completely swayed away from so many things. I had a conversation this week where I didn't completely understand where Father made that statement last month of why is it that the church seems to think that we need to be like mainstream Christianity when the Bride of Christ is nothing like that. And I believe now it has everything to do with the statement I made to the other person I spoke to this week, that we are now allowing everything into our church. Everything that other congregations or other churches or denominations do, we've got to now get that in there. We've got the big screens. We've got YouTube videos being played. We want to entertain everybody. We want to make everybody happy. And I'm sorry, please show me in Scripture where my father entertained anybody or made them happy. He had his moments when he did, but mostly what he wanted was just to save mankind, and apparently mankind seems to think they know how that's supposed to happen, and I think that's why everything's kind of fallen to the wayside. So it's our responsibility to get everybody back on center, and I have many conversations ready to discuss with the apostles about what Father would like to see. And he kind of went over that a little bit last month with the changes he would like to see take place. Anybody else?
Guess,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I guess more to the point, do you think the chief apostles heard from the DA?
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
Father shaking his head, yes. He said he is confused about the idea.
Okay.
He said, why would we need some other son of God in this time? HS is working on his heart, too. Father said it'll come to full circle shortly.
Okay. Don't usually get that quick of a response from him, but thank you.
Yes. Father's actually paying attention, so it's good. That was a joke, people. Lighten up, everyone.
I was laughing, but I was on mute.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add on that part? Father's statement.
I feel more calm than I did last month.
Okay. Good. I can tell you that I haven't seen Father so adamant when he's dictating a letter before. As animated as he was, I think he's fed up. But because of the love that he has for mankind and the congregations, he's holding back. I tried to read to you exactly how he dictated the letter to me, and if you notice, there were some parts where he was loud. And he's frustrated.
We're not going to get that giant flush like with Noah?
No.
Okay.
Father said just a couple hurricanes, perhaps.
Oh, great.
Just to get everybody's attention, he says. Anybody have anything else?
I have a question. First of all, can you hear me very well? I have a headset that I'm not quite sure works well. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, for those of our brothers and sisters who know who we are and who know you, and they're kind of in that inner circle and group, it seems as though more of them are seeing some of the problems that we know have been happening for a while. And my concern is that they keep their faith, because some have made the comment that, you know, I'm not getting anything out of services anymore. Why go? And I've had to basically say, when you're sitting in service and the servant is serving, and you know it's not the Holy Spirit speaking, is the Holy Spirit telling you what you need to know? And they said, well, yeah. I said, that's how it's going to happen. So keep coming to services, because we need to hear the word, and even being there, Holy Spirit will tell you what is right and what you need, and then we need Holy Communion. So that came out, and I think it's important that everyone realize that, but I would hate to see the inner circle get so frustrated that they just stop coming.
express to them how important it is to come. If you at least get your sins forgiven in the Holy Communion, that will help.
Okay, good. Thanks.
I have to tell you, dragging my carcass in every other Sunday, I mean, it's a chore. And I feel better during, and I feel better after. When I'm listening, I'm not really getting my sins forgiven, or I'm getting my sins forgiven, but I'm not getting communion. So I can tell you firsthand, when I'm there basking in the glory of the Lord, like we hear about in the Bible, it's absorbed. There is a physical attribute to being in service. Now, that goes against the whole thing about, well, just show up because that's what God wants. Put your butt in the bench and you get credit. That's not what I mean. So you have to differentiate that, because we've told people just because you show up doesn't mean you get good credit with God. It's the other thing. It's the other part where you're literally basking in His love and joy, and the fellowship, and being able to gain that. You can't get it from a transmission. You can't get it from the phone. You got to be there. And if nothing else, at least you're exposing your soul to some joy and some peace and some love. And if that's all you get, then that's all you get. And then you get your sins forgiven and go home. I mean, I know it works on me.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't mean to sound so preachy. I'm really tired.
It's okay. We're going to call in the choir.
Amen.
Tranquility, I'm going to throw you under the bus. Can you share anything with us about Tom?
Sorry, I just had to unmute. Things are pretty well the same. The fall is typically a really difficult time for him, but just to put a little bit of perspective into what Quasar said and what Trisus just said, there are many times where Tom literally drags himself into service, so much so that he physically drags himself.
Mm.
And many times I'll say, I think maybe it's better that you just stay home. And he says, given where he is coming from and what he has seen, he appreciates Holy Communion and the forgiveness of sins all that much more, and that is the driving force for him. So because he's been on the other side of the fence where he has said he's seen eternal damnation and where he's been given grace to now be forgiven, he literally drags himself many times. And he may even drag himself back home again, but by the next day he's already feeling a lot stronger. So, Quasar, I would just say, agreeing with Trisus and not sounding preachy, but just telling you what he's told me, and given what Tom has been through, it's so important, vitally important, that we have the forgiveness of sins and that we have Holy Communion with Christ. And in no other church will you get that except in the New Apostolic Church. Other than that, I would say, please, he needs your prayers. It has been a difficult few months for him. I think deep down he realizes that he does have some gifts, but I'm praying right now that those gifts that he has will be revealed to him and that he will understand them. And I've also been praying that the chief apostle will also develop an understanding for Triland, even though he's never met him, he doesn't know who he is, but already now that his understanding is going to be developed. So that's my preachy part.
Well done.
We're going to get you fitted for a black jacket yet.
Okay, Starlight went into two different realms since our last meeting. The first one is called The Promised, and the other one is called Tribulation, so I am turning it over to her.
I can barely hear you, so I'm assuming that I'm supposed to talk. But
correct.
So the first realm I went into was the promised, and that realm is filled with souls that were promised things, not necessarily by Father, but in the world, and they are hung up on the fact that, you know, the promises were never met. And kind of a backstory to this realm is that I was actually personally dealing with some things, and Father's always convenient with his timing of making you face things and to push you to work through things. So he had assigned this realm to me so I could basically learn from it and be able to move forward with some things that I was wrestling with. And he had said to me that I was going to take, you know, all of the hurt and all the lessons and all the things that I have learned, and I'm going to take that and bring it into the realm with me and to be able to help those souls there, because I would definitely be able to relate to, you know, what they're feeling. So when I went into that realm, there were thousands again in there, and you know, Father had said for me to speak from my heart, and I do that in all the realms, but this time it had a little more of a personal touch to it, and from there, I mean, it's up to the souls on what they do from there. The second realm that I went into was tribulation, and that realm was very, very dark, is the only way I can describe it. When I went in there, I could see, but the longer I was in there, Father had basically made me blind, and the only way I can describe it at one point is that while I was in there, I could feel myself getting upset or being able to feel, you know, what was going on in there. And at that point, I didn't realize it, but I don't want to say blacked out, but at that point, I lost some time in there. And then before I had left the realm, I actually prayed with the souls that were in there, which I had never done before. And I told Triland, I says, it's kind of funny. I says, I'm terrified to pray in front of six people, but I can pray in front of thousands of souls. I says, you know, and it was just, it was natural and comforting at that point. And then I had left that realm, went to see Father, and that realm was probably one of the hardest that I've had to go into, and I took out a lot from those souls and gave it to Father. And at one point, that was earlier in the week, I think it was on a Thursday, and then on Saturday, I actually, Jesus sat with me, and we went through my chakras and basically gave myself a healing, because I had so much inside of me from, I was carrying around so much from that realm that I had to get rid of it, and I certainly did. So that's pretty much it from there.
Okay. Anybody have anything they'd like to ask or add?
I know you had visited a realm with the Catholics and the priests and all that, so this is a separate realm of the promised.
There was one realm was the promised. I did that probably a week or two after our last meeting, and then right before the service for the departed, I went into the realm of tribulation.
Okay.
So there were two separate realms.
But would you say, Starlight, that the realm of the promised, is it similar to purgatory in terms of the feeling?
No.
Okay.
No, they're completely, each realm has a very unique feeling, and when, and the souls in there are different. And each, and honestly, in each realm, when I go in there, it has a different feeling to it. And then sometimes I will actually speak to different souls that are in there if they you know, come to me while I'm in there. And then they all have different feelings. And, you know, they're basically in the promise, they're being trapped by their own feelings, and because they can't get beyond themselves and they can't forgive themselves or forgive the person or the event or something that was going on, where the purgatory is totally different, that they were, you know, promised things, or they thought they were being promised things by our Heavenly Father. And so this is, the promised realm was just more of on a personal level, where
okay.
The purgatory was more of, you know, with their faith.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Charlene, do you want to explain to them about about when I blacked out or couldn't remember?
Yeah, I can do that. I'm going to mute you while I do that. Still love you. Okay. Every time that Starlight goes into one of these realms, from what Father tells me, they are incredibly debilitating. He doesn't go to much detail as far as what that entails, but he said to me the last time she went into the realm of tribulation, I was meditating that morning, and Father said to me, just so you know, boy, I put up three walls in the center of her mind, because in the realm of tribulation, her mind would not be able to handle what she saw. Basically, what happened was when she went into that realm and was standing there, prior to her getting the feeling that she needed to pray with them, she actually realized what she was seeing and almost blacked out. My dad and I believe it was Michael ran in quickly and held her, and then they revived her a little bit and stood her back up. Father said that if her mind were to actually comprehend what she saw, her physical body would actually start to break down to the point where she would get sick, and then it would start to break down for her. So he said, I wipe her mind and I put these walls up and I block her subconscious from it so it doesn't debilitate her. He said, so then when you see her tonight, then you can knock the walls down. For me, I thought to myself, how horrible must these conditions be for these people, that we who still have flesh wouldn't be able to comprehend it or cope with it. And now these are living, breathing souls that are in the midst of this horror. And it's not something Father created for them. It's something they created for themselves. And until they actually accept what they did, they can't move forward. I will tell you that 2 weeks ago, there were some of the priests and popes that actually came to Schaumburg when the Dished Apostle was there, and Father made the comment. He said, turn around, boy, and look, and I did, and they were standing there. So there is hope for everybody, and it's by our example. And don't kid yourself, team, when you and I are not in service, souls see how we are. They watch how we're acting. We can either choose to be a good example or a bad one. And I'm putting myself in the same mix where, you know, sometimes I fly off the handle and I lose my calm and I make a complete idiot of myself. They understand that we're just as human as they are. But the fact of the matter is how quickly do you and I come to Father then when we know we've done something wrong and we ask Him for His forgiveness? Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I would like to share something. I really don't like sharing things like this because it sounds like I'm just going to tell you. You'll know what I'm talking about. I went into someone's home to check for mold, and there was a one-year-old And he was so cute, and he was just screaming his head off, and just in big tears, and just screaming, wailing. And I walked in the house, and I said, "It's okay." And he stopped crying. He looked up at me with wide eyes, and he put his hand up, and he reached for me. And it was just so cool. It just gave me chills, because we know that children can see us the way that we are. But that wasn't even the coolest thing that happened. I mean, I love children. I mean, I just want to squeeze them. And this kid just wanted to be with me, and I was dirty. I couldn't really touch him. My right hand was dirty, so I kind of touched him a little bit with my left hand, and I just wanted to squeeze him. And his dad is huge. You know, he's big as you guys, you Ryback and Jeremy. And this little one-year-old, you could tell that he's big. Well, it must have been his uncle that was there, because it looked like his mother was African American, and his dad was white, and the other guy there was as big as the dad, and he was African American. Well, I was working in the house, and when I went to leave, I just said, I just love children. They're so awesome, and this kid is so cute. I just want to squeeze him. I said, I wish I wasn't dirty, because I'd squeeze him. And he said, it's awesome, because he sees your spirit, and they know when it's good. And I thought, I had the opportunity to talk to him about it. I said, you're absolutely right. And if the kid looks at someone and they start screaming, you know that you don't want them near them. And he said, you got it right. They know, they see, and good is good. I just wanted to share that, because it was a beautiful thing. And I think you now understand why I don't want to share that, because then it sounds like you know what I mean. But thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, but I've known you for years, Danny, and that's the way, I mean, as silly as it sounds, you've always had that gift. So even before you are a guardian, you're an attractor. So you have a very, very strong personality and a bright spirit. So, you know, you're like the Energizer Bunny, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so that's cool you have an affirmation. Those little things, Father gives those to us, just let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. I wanted to just make this point, which I have made in a number of other meetings. And the fact is that we are on the same level that the apostles are on, because they are Jesus' ambassadors, and you are mine. In the future, we're going to be working together. So it's not that we look down at the apostles. I mean, that's insane to even have to say that. But I'm going to tell you that they probably are not going to view us the same way that we view them. And I believe that most of those that have a problem with us, as Father said, they'll get their pink slip that day, and we won't have to deal with it. But I want everybody to understand that the power and authority that they stand in is from Jesus. Jesus and I are on the same level, which is confounding to me too. Okay, it's not easy for me to say these words to you, but I need to, because I believe it now. I gave all of you the power and authority to heal flesh. And I know a number of you have actually been doing that. And we all seem surprised when Father decides that, yes, that person should be healed. If you have not had the chance to do that yet, I would encourage you to. Father's going to put people in your path. And when they come across your path, you need to believe in your heart that you have this power and authority, and you quietly just say to yourself as you put your hand on them, I heal you in Father's name. They don't have to know that you're doing it. A number of the team has done that unbeknownst to the person, and within a matter of moments, that person's better. It's crazy. Or they go to the doctor, and now the doctor doesn't find anything physically wrong with the person. That's incredibly wonderful, and that is our Father. Okay? Does anybody have any questions about that?
Well, I was just going to ask if we have to tell them what we're doing. So just quietly do it and run energy in.
You just need to put your hand on them. You don't have to say anything. I guess what I'll say is it's not about us. Don't draw attention to yourself. Because if your ego comes into play during this process, you will not be healing anybody. But if you know that somebody's sick, I give hugs sometimes now, and I know the person isn't doing well. I'll give them a hug, and I'll say quietly, I heal you in Father's name. They don't know I'm saying it. I'm saying it in my mind. And then they look better the next time I see them. Something like that.
Hey, Tryland, question. Do we need to physically touch them?
Yes.
Okay.
I know that the centurion said to Jesus, all you have to do is say it, and it'll be done. Not for us at this time. I would think down the road, yeah, but right now, no. Physically, we need to touch the person appropriately.
Okay. That explains a little bit for me, because there's times where I just, in the center of my mind, go to the person, and I don't physically put my hands on them. That explains a little bit.
Okay. Yes. Please put your hands on them. All right. I wanted to discuss with everybody the difference between what real praise is and what thankfulness is. Starlight and I have spent a lot of time together over the last few months, and when a song comes on the radio, a Christian song, where the person singing says, you are awesome, Lord, and you are God, and you are worthy. They might as well throw in there, and you have a beard, and you have hair, and you have eyes. That is not what real praise is. Don't tell my Father who he is and what he is. That's not praise. Dictionary.com defines praise as the act of expressing approval or admiration, commendation or laudation, the offering of a grateful homage in words or song as an act of worship, a hymn of praise to God, the state of being approved or admired. The king lived in praise for many years. What we need to do is tell him what we are because of him. I praise you, Father, for the life you gave me, for the love you always show me. I praise you for always being there for me. Does everybody see the difference in what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I find it incredibly offensive. I find it incredibly offensive when someone says, you are worthy, Lord. Of course he is. He's God, for crying out loud.
What about the Psalms? Doesn't King David mention that quite a bit in Psalms?
He does. But he doesn't do it in an obnoxious way. He's very creative with the way he does it. He doesn't really repeat himself. He finds inventive ways to touch Father's heart. And that's, I guess, what I'm trying to express the most.
So he was kind of the first one to do it, so...
Yes.
So to speak.
That's why he became also, Father's friend. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, the Psalms are chopped up for us to read them. So if you... It's not like he one day he went, oh, I'll write Psalm 125, and then the next day he wrote Psalm 126. I mean, he was...
No, that's not how it
I mean, he was spitting these out. I mean, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I can imagine, like, when you fall in love or when you are so thankful for something that you're just spitting these out, and he's writing them down and spitting them out and telling Father, you know. So it looks like he might be doing it. I don't know what I'm saying, but you know what I mean?
No, I understand what you're saying. He didn't do it all in one shot, or... He didn't, like you said, he didn't wake up every day and write a new one. It was just kind of...
Yeah, and maybe he wrote down
Psalms, and then
there
was a break.
I'm assuming. I don't know. Jim can go see him next time he's up in the chamber and ask him. But
You guys can go yourself.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm trying.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get the difference. But I never thought about it that way. You're right. It's almost like the "I love you, honey," you know, versus like, "Hey, I love you."
And here's why I love you.
Right. Right. There's the reason behind what you're saying to him. I that's a great way of putting it. You're pretty smart there, buddy.
Well, you know, it's what I get paid for.
You got smacked pretty good with the wisdom stick.
Okay, well, I hope he beats me harder.
So how do we share this with... Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
The next step, right? So we're teachers. How do we share this without sounding like we're some yahoos that are trying to correct the entire Christian world, which we'll have to do at some point? But in your opinion, obviously you're not going to correct him like, "Man, you're praising God wrong. You got to do it this way." Right. But
right.
How do you offer up the suggestion for a different type of understanding, I guess?
I know for myself, I'm already thinking about it. I would bring it up at a small group. In conversation. When you're having conversation at small group and people start, I mean, these are topics and questions that start coming up while you're sitting at your small group, and it's a perfect thing to just go right into and start a topic on.
Nice. Okay.
Perfect. The reason why I wanted to introduce this to you now is because I would like everybody to praise Father differently. And then when we do become announced and everybody knows you exist, then you can use actual knowledge, actual hands-on information as to what you've been doing and how you're praising Father. And now when it does get to the point on a small group where you guys will probably be in charge of a couple of them, now we can start teaching correctly. I don't believe that you and I are going to be put in a position, well, in my travels, yes, I'm going to, any small group I'm with, going to bring this to their attention. But for you, if you're with some family member or some little group or just a friend, there's no reason why you can't say, "Hey," and if they understand that we're faithful and we go to church, you can say, "Hey, someone brought up recently, this is how, you know, we should probably praise God, not this way, because blah, blah, blah." It could lead into that. I'm not expecting anyone to stand on a soapbox now and tell everybody you're all wrong. God doesn't love you unless you praise him this way. No.
Man, I'm going to stand on the front stoop and do that. I'm going to scare all the neighborhood children. "Do you love Jesus? You're praising God wrong. Do it. Do it this way."
Traylon, this subject makes me think about the different translations of the Bible. What translation of the Bible does Father want us to teach from? Because I know at certain times... those serving behind the altar will pull from different translations.
He said he wants you to serve out of Hebrew and Greek.
I know neither, so he's going to have to...
I swear I heard him say that.
That's awesome.
He said they're all good. He doesn't have one that's particular. He said that the old King James version of the these and the thous, it does not fit into the culture that we live in. He said they all basically say the same thing. So whichever one makes you feel comfortable, then you stick with that.
Fair enough.
He's so wise.
He's God, for crying out loud. Didn't you just say that?
Yeah, he did. He has a face. That's why we love him. All right. I wanted to discuss with you thankfulness because we're in the month of Thanksgiving. Thankfulness is a form of praise. Dictionary.com defines it as a feeling or expressing gratitude and appreciative. "I'm thankful for the help you give me, Father, for my home, for children, and all I have." We have to express everything to Father, to acknowledge his kindness and his gifts that he gives us. And then if you can, thank Father for the tests and trials that you're going through. You've gotten to a completely new level of faith that very few have ever achieved. And you have to mean it when you thank Him for it. We don't thank Him because we feel we have to. We don't thank Him because now this is the national month of Thanksgiving, so now we have to butter Father's muffin really good, because if we don't, He's going to turn into Old Testament God and take it out on all of us. That is not what He's looking for. I would say to you, when you do something for a loved one, if they don't say thank you to you, how do you feel? We all kind of hang there for a moment, don't we? Going, this is the part where you're supposed to say thank you. And even as a child being taught, our parents say when someone does something for you, you automatically say thank you. But it can't be a hollow thank you. We don't spend enough time actually thinking about what it is that Father's done for us. We think about what He's doing to us. You see the difference?
Say that again.
Throughout my life, we're not paying attention to what Father has done for us out of love. We view Him sometimes as what He's doing to us. Why are you making me suffer? Why do I have to go through this? What am I supposed to learn from this? Why is everybody around me a bunch of morons? This would be such a nicer place if you didn't have all these human beings. Let's thin the herd, right? You can't do that. Mm-hmm. We need to focus in on the positive things that Father has done for us, is doing for us. I will have to tell you that I told Him that I am incredibly thankful, not just for all of you, but for who He's allowed you to become for the sake of this work that's coming. Because I know all of you better than you probably know each other as far as talking with each other, because I have contact with all of you. And I have watched now all of you grow over 7 years. For those of you that have been with me the longest, we're going on almost 7 years that we've been doing this. And the person that you were when I met you is nothing like the person that you currently are. And for me, that's a complete acknowledgement of Father's grace and His love and His kind hand, because I know He has put all of you through such crap, and I'll call it that for right now. And that's what's made you become who you are today, and you've stuck with me through everything, and you love Him more than you did before. And because of that, my friends, He brings you closer to Him. Because when the announcement does happen, and I have no more doubt that that's going to happen, because a couple weeks ago, for a brief 16th of a second, I thought, is that really going to happen? And all I heard was, oh, for crying out loud, boy. That was it. That's all I needed to hear. Okay? Show me in Scripture where Father said something and then it never happened. Certainly, it took a period of time, but He's always kept all His promises, and He promised that this would happen. Now, here's the biggest thing I'm going to point out about the announcement. My announcement is not about me. It's about Him and what He would like to do for His children to perfect the bride of Christ with the help of the apostles. Do you see the difference there? I'm not going to make that day about me. It's going to be all about Father and why He's picked all of us to be a part of this. And for me, I'm incredibly thankful that I have you, because I've often been told that people cannot share in another person's psychosis, but you've all been sharing in it all these years. And so I can say to that person, you're wrong. These people are all nuts, and they're crazy in love with Father because of all the things He's done for them and their families. And not one of you has been devoid of grief or problems in your lives. And I basically have told all of you, if you accept this invitation from Father, He's going to turn your life inside out. So say no and run away. But you fools went the other way, and because of that, Father has blessed you so richly. And I love all of you because of your commitment to Him and for standing by my side in spite of everything. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add?
Yeah, we love you too.
I love you guys very much. We're in this together.
I like how you said that this is going to be about Father, and it's been interesting because I thought about how the work is going to change. And I it's interesting that you said that. That's a confirmation of what I've been thinking these last few weeks, because the initial fear of, oh my God, what am I going to do? That's gone. Now there's the self-doubt. Am I going to be good enough to stand there and go, well, yeah. Or am I going to be like Peter? He's not my brother. Nope. So I appreciate you putting it that way, because this has nothing to do with us. We're the servants, and it's about him, and that's wonderful. Now I have a different understanding that actually brings peace.
Good.
So thank you.
You're welcome. I will tell you that for over 4 years now, or 5 years, since they told me who I am, I have been practicing my presentation, is what I'm going to call it. And it continually changes, but it's always about Father. It's about a 16th of a second about me and why he needs me to do what I'm doing. But most of it has everything to do with what Jesus is doing, what the apostles are going to do, and then what Father's plan is for the future, how things are going to unfold, what his expectations are. That is what that day is. And that is why so many people are going to walk away, because they don't want to hear what Father has to say. And that breaks my heart. But in time, a lot of those that leave are going to come back, because they're going to find out that when they go to these other churches that they believe are going to provide for them what this church provides for them, they're going to find how lacking they are, because the Holy Spirit's not there, because there's no sacraments there. The life of Father is not there, and the power and authority certainly isn't there either. And this isn't because you and I say it isn't. It's because Father says it isn't. That's the biggest thing I want to portray to everybody. We are not speaking out of ourselves. We are speaking on behalf of Father. And you must have that conviction in your heart. You've all been in situations where you've given testimony, or you've spoken, or you've talked somebody off the ledge, and you sit there amazed at the words that are coming out of your own mouth because you've never thought of that before. There's your confirmation, friends, that that is Father. That's HS. I can't begin to tell you how many times, every time I see HS, I give him a bear hug, I don't let go of him, and I whisper in his ear, thank you for being there for my team. And he smiles and says, I will always be there for your team, Suppy. He still calls me Suppy. You have that confidence. And even Father, at the end of his message, know that I will always be with you. I will always support you. How many times has he just ended messages like that? Almost every one. I will always love and support you, is what he said tonight. Period. Anybody else have anything else they'd like to add? We're approaching the hour mark. I'm going
to
unmute Starlight.
I tried to see it before, but my phone was on mute. And it has to do with the healing. I understand that we have to physically touch the person. So I would like to ask you, please, Eva, my coworker, her husband was taken to the hospital. He's been having severe chest pains for a few weeks now, and she's dealing with her mother-in-law who has Alzheimer's, and her daughter just had a premature baby at 32 weeks. So she has a lot on her plate. I give her a big hug, and actually Tom hugged her today too, and Tom said it. She just felt drained him of all of his energy. Well, he doesn't know about the roses and things yet. That's why I'm still praying that he comes to understand what he's been blessed with. But if you could please remember Eva's husband, I know she would be so grateful.
Sure can. Please give her my love.
I will. Thank you.
Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Okay. We have no meeting next month because of the holiday season. We'll spend time with our families. And then our next meeting is on Sunday, January 8th at 6 p.m. And from that point forward, every meeting is usually going to be the second Sunday of every month, unless there's the Super Bowl playing, then it'll be the following one. And every meeting will always be at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock for you Eastern folk. For the January meeting, I would like you to invite your spouses and significant others. Okay? Father would like to address everybody as we start off.
I got to get one.
Yes, you do. You can rent one if you want. Okay? All right. I did not ask anybody else to pray. I don't know why that is. Now I do, because we're over an hour, so I will just pray with all of you, okay? Dear Father, as we approach you, we all bow and we take a knee. We give our thanks to you because you have created us and made us who we are. We understand now on a completely different level how kind you are, how loving you are, and how patient you are with us. These people who are with me are my friends. Years ago, we did not even know each other. We were acquaintances that were new apostolic, perhaps, or weren't even new apostolic at the time. And you, out of the kindness of your heart and the magnitude of your endless love, have drawn us all together from every single kind of walk of life, of every condition. Not one of us is the same. And you brought us together and you formed this team. For me, that's overwhelming. Because the task that you've assigned to us is huge. And you trust us. That, to me, again, is overwhelming at times. But as we look through history, Father, we can see that you always singled out some small group. You gave them every single thing they would need. You patted them on the head. You maybe even gave them a little pat on the rear end and said, okay, off with you. And all they had to do was do what you asked of them. Know now, Father, that this team, we stand united. We will do what you ask of us. We will not have fear. We will not let anybody sway us and tell us that we're insane or crazy. Nobody can take from us the things that we have seen and the lives that we have changed in your name because of the power and authority that you've given us. It is all about you and the love that you have for mankind, which, by the way, just confounds us because we do not see these people like you do. I'm sorry. I keep asking you to open our eyes so that we can, so that when that person cuts us off or that person says something to us, we don't think the horrible things that we think, Father, but that we look inside of them and we say, oh, there's a little piece of Father. I need to love that soul just like Father loves that soul. These are the things, Father, that we try to change within ourselves. And sometimes, Father, we fail miserably as we go through the day and we make our mistakes and we crawl and we claw and we come to the steps of your throne crying and we want to just give up. But we don't, because you will always put your hand on us. You will always give us the strength to move forward, and you will always forgive us if we ask right. So see the hearts that are gathered here. See the deep concerns that rest in their hearts, not just for themselves, but their families, their friends, and everybody that is on their heart that you see. And maybe there's a secret concern that they haven't even voiced to you, Father, then I now bring it out, and I lay it before you because I can. There are things going on in everybody's lives that they don't know how to handle or maybe talk to you about, but now you know them, Father. And I know that in time, you'll provide everything that we need to be the people that we're supposed to be when that day comes. And it's going to happen in June because you said it will. We pray for our leaders, Father, that their hearts are opened. We are not here to make a name for ourselves or to serve in any capacity ourselves. As you made the comment, so few are serving others. We, as this team, Father, will serve you and all of mankind. And we are not afraid to stand in front of everybody and confess and profess that you are our Father and you are the one who has sent us. If there's something we've forgotten, Father, and I know you'll provide it, some of the congregations that our friends here serve in, there's such great chaos. So I plead with you, Father, that there would be peace this weekend. We all need peace. Brother Jesus, if you could give us extra strength in the communion on Sunday, we would appreciate that too. And then all of us can sleep now and be rested through the night and through the weekend. That, Father, as we go back into the Monday, that, Father, we're able to move forward with joy in our hearts, that people will even look at us and go, well, what did you do this weekend? We spent time with you, Father. Thank you for everything you do for us. Know how much we love you and appreciate you. We pray for Eva and her family, as Tranquility has asked us to. They have a dear place in our heart. And we know that she has an amazing faith in you, even though she is not new apostolic yet. But you, Father, will be kind to them. And you will step in and show them that because of their conviction in you, you will show them the healing power that you have because of these prayers that we render on their behalf. Thank you for everything. Cover our extended families. If there's, again, something we've forgotten, I know you'll cover it. And as always, Father, according to your will, we bow and know how much we love you and appreciate you. Thank you. Amen.
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 Thank you, guys.
Thank you.